I was thinking about this. Bill sent me an email about some college professor and his college professor trying to make a mockery out of God, you know, and I just stand to like, he says, there is no God, you know, not, I mean, after all, you know, if he asked the average person a question, have you ever seen God heal anybody? What do most people say? No. Have you ever seen God? No. Have you ever smelt God? No. Have you ever touched him? You ever felt him? No. Has God ever done anything miraculous in your life? Most people, they'll say no, especially guys in college. Why do you think the people that are in college, the average one, why do you think those young people never have seen God do anything at this point? They're not in the Word. They don't know what the Word says, and they're not walking a pure, holy life. They're living in the lustful things of youth. And so when they're living there, they don't hear God. I mean, he don't talk to you. It's just rare. I mean, I didn't hear God until I was, 35, 36 years old, somewhere along there. 1977, anyway. June of 1977 was the first time I heard God speak to me audibly. You know, I mean, I never dreamed he would. Of course, I'm just studying the Word, and I have had a lot of young men come to me and say, Pastor, I've heard some of your teachings, and I want to do for God what you do for God. But I've been listening to your CDs now for 6 months, and I've been praying for people, and nothing's happening yet. What's wrong? I said, you've only been listening to the Word for 6 months? Yeah. Isn't that enough? I said, no, I don't want to bust your bubble, but I studied the Word 10, 15 hours a week for 10 years before he spoke to me the first time. 10 years? Are we a microwave group today? We put the food in the microwave, push a button, and hurry up. Boy, it's not done yet. Is that the way we are, young lady? That is absolutely the truth. In other words, when I was a kid, when we come home in the afternoon, I think about how my mother used to get up all the stuff together and make up everything, you know, and she had to make the biscuits, you know, make the gravy, everything, you know. I mean, everything had to be made. It took mother a couple hours to fix supper. You know, now then we come in and we grab a little can of stuff and you rip the deal on, bam, it just says pop, and you got biscuits. All you got to do is throw them in the stove, right? I mean, I've thought about, let's go even further back, when the prodigal son came home. The father says, go out and kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. Now, my son would have starved to death. Kill the fatted calf? Give me a break. You mean we don't have that steak in the refrigerator ready to eat? Is that the way we want it? Sure. Let's run in there and grab a couple of steaks out of the deep freeze and throw them out and let them thaw out this afternoon. When I get home tonight, we'll throw them on the grill, and in a little while we'll have the fatted calf. You want to kill the calf? That's what they used to have to do. Yeah. And when I was a young man, I worked in my uncle's slaughterhouse for one summer, and I killed many a calf. You know, they'd walk through that door, and I'd shoot them right between the eyes with a .22, you know, and they'd drop down there, and then I'd cut their throat, and that blood come gushing out of there, you know, and everything. And after the blood gushed out, you know, then I'd pick them up with that little hoist and stretch them up there. And for the first thing we do, turn them over there and skin them. You know, take that knife, boy, and that guy that worked in there all the time, boy, he could skin them calves. He could knock that skin off of there in a hurry. And then we'd put the hoist on it and pick it up, and I'd take, cut it open in the middle, all the insides, everything had come out. Then I'd take a saw and saw it right down the middle, all the way down. And I'd shroud that thing up and roll it in the cooler. Now, for all those fatted calves things, somebody's got to do that. You may not like to hear that, but let me tell you, somebody's got to be there doing that, or you ain't going to have that fatted calf in the refrigerator to eat, you know. So somebody's got to do it, you know. And let me tell you, I've done it a lot of times in my life, and so I know when the father says, let's go kill the fatted calf, let's have a party, I mean, this is not going to be a 15-minute deal. You know, I mean, it's going to take a while before supper's going to be ready, right? It's going to take a little while. But praise God, I'm going to read a testimony to y'all. I was out in the Hobbs, New Mexico the other day. We were. And while we were staying in Kathy's Welburn's home, and while we were there, there was a guy mowing the yard. And she says, "Thurman, that guy out there mowing the yard has cancer. He's in very, very bad shape." I said, "Let me go out there and talk to him." So I went out there and sat down with him. I said, "Sir, I understand you have cancer." He says, "Yes." I said, "How long do you think you have?" He said, "Not long." I said, "Well, would you like to live or die?" He said, "I would really like to live a while." I said, "Most of us do." I sat down with him and explained to him the principles of the kingdom. I said, "You got to get rid of sin." I said, "Have you put God first in your life?" "No." I said, "You know that's why God put this cancer upon you?" He said, "You're trying to tell me God put this cancer on me?" I said, "Oh, yeah. He's trying to get your attention. He wants you to love him and serve him. And he'll do anything it takes to get you to come over into his kingdom and love him and serve him." He said, "You mean if I make God a promise that I will love him and serve him and get rid of my unforgiveness, he might heal me?" I said, "No, he might not might heal you. He will heal you. Guarantee it. Because he said he would in his word." "Hi, Thurman and Cheryl. Remember the man who was mowing our yard, Bill Wallace? He came inside and you ministered to him for a long time. He had cancer and was in great pain. They told me yesterday, Friday, that he was completely healed. No more cancer. He had had a bladder problem too. Remember, he really wanted his bladder back. Thurman, you prayed for a new bladder after he left. I'm not sure about that yet. I don't know about that. But you know, I know that God has a lot of spare parts up there in heaven. And he's got a spare parts bank and he can give you a new bladder. I have seen God give many people new organs in their body. Many. I mean, new lungs, hearts. In fact, there was a lady here yesterday that sat right over, Ann. Ann sat right where you're sitting yesterday. And she was sitting there, and she came up and gave her testimony. Her and her husband came to two or three healing schools. They're from somewhere out west Texas. I think they said it's about 300 miles or 400 miles from here to where they live. But they came here, drove here several times for a healing school. And she had been given a diagnosis that within a year she would be gone. She's not an old woman. By no means. Did you see her yesterday, Kim? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know you did because she gave her testimony. Yeah. But anyway, this lady came up for prayer with her husband. We got all of their sins taken care of. Isn't it amazing how that when God says sin brings forth death, we don't believe that, do we? Sin brings forth death. He said that over and over. And we just go ahead and sin all we want to, not realizing there's going to be a consequence. We just go ahead and sin. And then, of course, it starts bringing forth death. And, of course, she was going to die in a year. Doctor gave her maybe a year. So they came and to two or three healing schools, got their faith built up, got rid of all their sins, her and her husband. And we prayed for her, and she goes back home, and she gets to feeling so good. Wow. It's awesome. So she goes back to her doctor and has her heart checked, and he doesn't understand it. He said her heart is brand new. It's not repaired. It's brand new. It's like a brand new heart. Well, Billy and his wife, Ann, when I went to Washington here just recently to pray for congressmen and senators, they met me up there. They stayed in the same hotel I did there. And Billy and his wife, Ann, wanted to go with me to pray for these congressmen and senators. So they did. I said, "There's going to be an awful lot of walking." She said, "Well, I got a new heart. I can handle it." And she did. That woman walked me down. I'm telling you, her, Billy, no problem. But out of all of us, I think she was the strongest. She was stronger than Billy and me. Isn't that something? But God gave that woman a new heart. She's got a whole new leash on life. And yesterday she gave her testimony about how God had given her that new heart. Now, isn't it amazing how that God can put a new heart in you? And it's just how he can put a new set of lungs in you. Cheryl and I have seen God put new lungs in people. We've seen him do all kinds of things. Lungs that are burnt up, you know, he just replaces them, puts a brand new set in there. You know, I don't understand why that Christians, I can understand the world, but I don't understand why Christians smoke, drink, you know, get involved in sex outside of wedlock. I don't understand why we don't do the, why we will do these things, knowing that our God is going to judge us and that it's going to bring forth death. I don't know. I don't know why. But anyway, we do it, and we do a pretty good job at it. And thank goodness for a merciful God, huh? If he wasn't a merciful God, all of us would be dead. For me, for sure. As a lady sat right here on the front row yesterday, Judy Prince. Some of you have never heard of Judy Prince. But in 1995, Judy called a friend of hers here in Justin and told her, I have less than a week to live. And I'm dying, and I've called to say goodbye. You know, when you have breast cancer for 2 years, and it's eating you up, the doctors wanted to take her breast off, but she wouldn't let them. She said, no, I'm going to die a whole woman. I ain't going to die a piece of a woman. I'm going to die a whole woman. You're not going to cut my breast off of me. So she refused to let them do surgery on her. So she was within just a week of dying. And when she called Sue here and told Sue that I'm calling to say goodbye, I have less than a week to live. Well, Sue, when she hung up the phone, Sue picked up the phone and called me and said, Thurman, I sat in your Sunday school class in that Baptist church every Sunday listening to you talk about the power of God and how God's healing people and all the things you're doing, how you're praying for people, and he's doing great things. She said, if my husband and I buy you a ticket to Corpus Christi Saturday morning, will you go down there and pray for this woman, friend of mine? I said, sure. Now, you think about this. I called you and asked you, I'm going to buy you a ticket to Corpus next Saturday. You're going to have to get up at 5 o'clock to catch the plane.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, A Vessel of Honor for God's Glory, in its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.